Ladies and gentlemen, it is game week. Welcome.
We're here, Kenny. We're finally
here. You better bet your ass we're here.
Yeah, all right.
It's football.
Okay, fine. Gridiron, pigskin, helmets.
When are you going to be
jock
excited?
Straps.
When are you going to be excited?
Do they even wear jock straps anymore? I think they don't. I think we went over this. They don't wear cups.
I would hope they wear supportive cups.
I don't know.
So you're telling me you've worn more jock straps in the last calendar year than professional football players?
Kenny, it's in every... an every night thing.
Now. Oh, that, interesting.
That comfort, that feeling. I mean, come on.
The support.
Oh, cozy.
The touch, the feel of cotton.
The fabric of our lives.
Come on, you're not excited? Fine. All right, We'll go over that huge embarrassing failure for Bill Belichick last night.
I'm definitely excited, and I think college football... You know, I saw it was, one of my favorite podcasts. I think it was Clay Travis saying college football makes a mistake and they should start the season like 5 weeks earlier and capitalize on there being no NFL. Because this was amazing. This last week was amazing. I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it ended with a big, big dud yesterday. But it became kind of entertaining if you were looking at your phone just with social media and everything yesterday, but it was a perfect primer to get into the football season.
So last night was an abomination of the game, which I know it's your first game out and things are changing over, but my God, what was your reaction as you were watching unfold?
There's no talent on the team, and you kind of have to have talent on a football team to compete against a program that TCU is... been a fine program for a long, long time in college football.
There's no other way. I mean, I'm sorry. Like I can try to give him as much credit as I can, and I know that he, he's a good coach, and there's legendary status there. But the Tom Brady stuff it ain't gonna go away, and I can't deny it anymore. I mean, my God.
Yeah, but see, I wasn't thinking about any of that last
player
night.
Player evaluation.
I wasn't thinking about any of that last night. I thought
about all of it.
Here's why. I said this when he took the job. I'm like, man, Belichick, for anybody else, would have nothing left to prove. And you, remember, he left the door open to going back to the NFL. It's just no NFL teams wanted him. He was ready to leave North Carolina. If you believe some of the reporting, and I do.
I agree with you. I believe
you. He was ready to leave. And that mm-hmm. door was open like 2 months after he took the North Carolina job. So... When I think about the guys that are the hungriest college football guys, even with the landscape changing, I don't think about somebody like Belichick, who I think by all indications, like his life has changed so much over the last 5 years anyway, that guy was going to grind it out to get all the top recruits. No, he wasn't going to do any of that. He just wanted to be on a sideline. He just wanted to have a football team. And that's just not going to work. And it's not going to work at North Carolina, where the recruits aren't just funneling their way there because of the mystique of North Carolina. Maybe if Belichick were at Ohio State and had the machine of Ohio State, then yeah, I'm sure he'd have the best players in the country. He doesn't. And his player, I mean, Kenny, if you'd been following the recruiting at all, it was like, what is North Carolina doing? But people would be like, but it's Belichick, so you might coach him up. It's like, yeah, but you got to have players. Those guys, what programs would those guys be at if they weren't at North Carolina?
Well, so that's part of the issue.
Bunch of guys that would be playing for the Army and Navy, like that, they don't have a shot week to week.
Here's Belichick after the game last night, which I don't know. If you stayed up for the end of it, I don't know why you would have. You could have seen Kirk Herbstreit's dog. That was probably the highlight of the second half. Was the dog getting on the headset, which apparently Kirk Herbstreit's in a little bit of hot water. I don't know if you want to call it hot water. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Here's Belichick after the loss.
They just outplayed us. They outcoached us. I mean, they were just better than we were. That's all there was to it. They controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their skill players played well, and they did a lot more things right than we did. So, you know, give them credit for being the better team. They certainly deserve it.
48-14, the final score last night is TCU
and
dismantled.
It wasn't even that close.
Dismantled. UNC. Here's Sonny Dykes, the head coach of TCU, saying that there was a lot more coverage of UNC than there was anything on the Horned Frogs who were in the national championship game just a couple years ago.
We all felt a little disrespected maybe coming in by, there was a lot of conversation and none of it was about us. And so, you know, I think we all were highly motivated. Our players were certainly excited to play. You know, North Carolina came out and executed really well in the first drive. We got down early and it didn't look great for us. Our guys just hung in there and, you know, we really prepared well. I'm really proud of our guys and I put a lot of work in and we showed up.
Somebody texted me this overnight and I woke up to it. Somebody texted me, they go, you know, he has the problem that Deion had at Colorado, where you are not talented enough of a team right off the bat to have everybody circling you that want to whoop up on you. Like Sonny Dykes, you've interviewed Sonny Dykes. Sonny Dykes has been through the wars. I mean, that's a football coach, that's a college football coach who's been through the ups and downs of being a college football coach. I mean, he's been hired, he's been fired, he's been to the top, he's been having to rebuild teams. And then you look across the way, and he knows, even with NIL and all the stuff, he knows the tricks and the trades and all the other stuff to get him going. And you look across the way and you see this guy, and he just drops in on your life. The difference is, though, I really did, and you can go back and check whatever tapes, I really did firmly believe Deion would get it turned around at Colorado. I watched this last night and I go, oh, God. Like some people are making bowl game jokes. I go, are we sure they're going to a bowl game? Who says North Carolina's going to a bowl game?
Well, does he have a Heisman Trophy winner like Deion did?
I look at the rest of their schedule. You got Charlotte, you got Richmond. Okay, maybe 2-1. Charlotte and Richmond. Charlotte's
Who knows?
A new coach.
The team I saw yesterday would have lost to a lot of the teams in the
MAC. Do they have Charlotte and Richmond talent?
Stanford's on November 8th. Stanford looks terrible. You got that going for you. Arnett, you ain't beating Syracuse and Virginia. I mean, Virginia, I know, is historically kind of on their ass, but I don't think you're beating Virginia. Cal, I got something for you there later on. I really do have an update about him coming up at 6:45. I don't want to give it away. Don't you go looking.
Did you like yesterday how, because it was the only game in town last night, it was the only thing on Monday night following the weekend. Everybody is just kind of on their couch or in bed. They're like, oh, let's see what Belichick's doing.
Let's see Belichick.
So everybody had to have a comment and make it a referendum on his entire coaching career. Oh. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Were going to use one college football game when, I don't know, like I said, seemed to me like he was half in to this job to begin with.
But then that becomes like
it, remember I asked you like 2 months in, I'm like, does he have any recruits? Does he have any commitments whatsoever?
Like, I don't know.
And we were looking, we scoured, and we're like, oh my God, he's got nobody. Like 2 months into the job, because we all thought he was going to the NFL, and so did everybody else that recruited against him. They're like, oh, he's not even going to be coaching this team.
Well,
so we looked, and I'm like, they've got nobody. They've got a bunch of 3-stars and guys that their other offers were Army and Navy. Like, sorry, you're not winning big-time college football, Power 5 football with those guys.
The staff doesn't look like a great staff. No. It looks like the Belichick friends and family. Like, you have Freddie, who stayed on there.
Mm-hmm.
You have Mike Lombardi, who's the general manager. I'm like, well, do you know about college football anymore? You're used to getting them as seniors in 4 years of development.
Grown men, yeah.
Like, you're talking about, and, you know, they gave $50 million to Belichick. What do you have left over in the kitty to go buy talent that you can get in the transfer portal and do all this? Like, what do you really know about that? Like, these are questions. I'm sure Mike Lombardi would have a really smart answer to it because he covers all those things because he's a good talker. But, like, you got the sons, Freddie, Mike Lombardi. Like, it's friends and family. And a lot of people drawing conclusions to the Jordan Hudson stuff. Old guys like younger women. That is not a surprise. I thought yeah, it's still Belichick. They'll come out prepared. They did not look like they were ready to play football.
Did you? Well, they had the first drive.
They were ready to play football.
They had the first drive. He coached them up on the first drive.
My God in heaven.
So you looked up into the press box or into the one of the suites, and it was Michael Jordan. It's up there.
With LT.
Yes.
LT was up there.
I just have to laugh every time. I mean, he has been everywhere lately. Remember, he was part of the presidential fitness program or whatever. And I'm like, man, it does pay to be really good at something. Because if he were just an average football player, he'd be the biggest pariah of all time, given his public life. And
he's Lawrence
up there,
Taylor?
He's up there in the suite. And they're like, Lawrence Taylor. And I'm like, man. I mean, I know we're in some
skim over the crack stuff, right?
That's the least of his worries.
The tip of the iceberg. The crack's the tip of the iceberg. When the crack is the tip of the iceberg, folks. Whoa.
But I wonder how those guys were feeling.
I made jokes himself during, what was it, Waterboy?
Waterboy
was great.
You know, this game, it was at least a game at halftime. And you wonder what those guys, what that suite looked like, because I don't think they showed him again after that. I wonder what that suite looked like 4 minutes in to the third quarter when the route was on.
Probably looked like a suite we all wanted to be in. During that game, at least you're having a good time. No one suite that was having a good time.
That's why you bring LT.
Kirk Herbstreit was caught in a hot mic, though. And there's a debate about whether or not he was saying that. Well, just listen to the clip here of Kirk Herbstreit. Here we go.
You're bad. Oh. Fourth quarter starting here in Chapel Hill.
So that's a hot mic situation. That's a hot mic situation. They were coming back from break.
Courtesy of ESPN.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. And Kirk Herbstreit apparently got caught saying they're bad, to where Kirk Herbstreit has responded, and he said, quote, must be a slow night, not sure why this is confusing. I said, quote, you're bad, to my spotter Darren for something funny he said when we were just coming back on the air. Say it again, or write it again, or play it again there.
You're bad. Oh. Fourth quarter starting here in Chapel Hill.
I think I do hear him say you're bad, but...
No, I got to hear it again. Okay. At first, I'm like, oh, he's clearly lying. But now, the second time I hear it, I was like, wait a second. Did my ears mishear it? Like was this the
Am
purple...
Am I playing you're bad in one ear and this, they're bad in the other?
Was this the purple dress thing? Go ahead.
You're bad.
See, now I don't know.
Fourth quarter starting here in Chapel Hill.
But the recovery from Reese makes it seem like Reese thinks he said, you're bad. They're bad.
Well, wait a minute. His spotter has tweeted.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Tony. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I was standing 3 feet to his right in that booth, 100% accurate. He said, you're bad. Okay, then what did the producer say? Did the producer make fun of UNC? Were they laughing about that? Were they laughing about something else? Who knows? I don't think it really matters. Does it really matter?
What did the dog spotter say? What did the dog's makeup artist say?
Well, we don't know what the dog's makeup artist said. But if
the dog's got a whole crew.
Again, if you're saying that a team that's bad is bad, is that a big deal if he would actually even said they're bad? I mean, it was 41-14
at
the start of the fourth quarter.
Fine.
And I think a lot of people were looking at this going, boy, they're bad. They are really bad.
In fact, it was so bad that Herbie, even if he was talking about anything else in the world, like, oh, that conflict going on overseas, that's bad. Whatever it was, he should have just gone on Twitter and said, I was talking about UNC football. They were bad. And people have been like, yeah, okay. We all agree. We all saw it. At least he's being truthful.
You're bad.
He might have been talking to Belichick directly himself, going, you're bad. Team's bad. The whole thing's bad. It's bad.
But I don't.
You're bad.
But you see what I'm saying? Like,
it's appointment viewing now.
I think it's silly to act like whole career fraud. Because one has zero to do with the other.
This is the internet. This is sports media.
Sure. So it's people just trying to get attention, whatever. But no one could possibly really believe that because they got blown out last night, therefore, he's overrated as a coach.
It's not that he's overrated, but you got to remember.
Every coach has been blown out. What about Nick Saban?
You got to add some context to it here.
Didn't Nick Saban get humiliated in his first game back at Alabama?
I don't know if that was the case, but you got to add some context to it here. Is that people have been having an argument between him and Brady for the most of some people's lives, for crying out loud. I mean, it's been 20-plus years of whether or not it was Belichick or Brady, which one was really the guy. And which, I mean, you always look at it and go, well, you know, you can have great coaches. They're not magicians. You have to have great players. You can have coaches that can get guys from point A to point B better than other coaches. That's absolutely true. And they have better ideas, and they're good at scheming, and they're good at doing some things to help out their players. But you got to have great players. So it's like you look at some of the legends of all sports. They had great players. John Wooden was the first guy to say it. Like, I recruited the best players. I mean, I had some help there, but we're going to leave that alone. You're always going to have a great player. And so, yeah, Belichick had great players. He don't have great players here. and you got 11 games to go, and it's a long season, and it's going to be appointment viewing for everybody who hates Bill Belichick out there. Because the entire, and I think it was something that there were a lot of media people that we know who were making a big deal of Jordan Hudson stuff. And I certainly, I called him like, why are we doing four-piece exposés on a guy who likes a 24-year-old girl? Like, that's not surprising that a 74-year-old guy would want someone 50 years younger than him. What is the surprising thing? And I think last night they were going, that's why it was a big deal, because that team looks unprepared. Mm-hmm. Completely unprepared. And he, at least, you know, at least he has, what, 4 years, 11 games left on that $50 million contract. So unless he resigns himself and decides to give him money back at the end of the year, because it certainly ain't going to be after last night.
Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe his first year at Alabama.
Yeah. They were 6-6, I think, his first year, if I'm not mistaken. 7-6. Oh, they probably went to a bowl game, won the bowl game, maybe? Yeah. I'll never forget that Louisiana Monroe loss. There are four quarterbacks I'm watching for the Cleveland Browns already. Is that wrong?
I'm sorry, it's not more.
Well, I got to narrow it down at some point here.
Yeah, a whole season for that.
Which I put three on social media, and then someone went, Fernando Mendoza. I went, that's right, Fernando Mendoza. Threw some nice balls on Saturday there. So I got four. Do you want me to put them in order, or do you want me to just give them to you?
No, just okay. Go. Just go.
In no particular order. Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, Carson Beck, even though that's... I hem and haw about the Carson Beck
like
stuff.
Carson was looking like a magician.
Just not a big Carson Beck guy, but credit where it's due. And then the other one is Fernando Mendoza. That's where it is. I was very happy with Lenore Sellers and Garrett Nussmeier because it confirmed... there was confirmation bias there with those two that I really liked. The Cade Klubnik, I was happy with that performance because there was confirmation bias that I didn't like. He ran for a first down, and he did some things that reminded me of when somebody else would run for a first down. I go, oh, God, here they come. Because I thought everybody was watching the game, and a lot of people were watching that game who are Browns fans there, including Jimmy Haslam was apparently at that football game. Jimmy was at that game. He got a whole day of college football in where he was at the Ohio State, Texas game. Notice I didn't say Arch Manning in there. The Ohio State-Texas game, and then he was at Clemson-LSU, according to the reports there. So he's getting it all in.
So I'm sure he did.
Crossing all the T's.
I'm sure he did, but maybe he was better about not getting caught with cameras and everything. And this way, there was no way you could avoid it because he was there pregame and everybody was there pregame.
Yeah.
Did he do this when Baker was coming out? Did he do this when Johnny was coming out?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I don't remember him getting spotted and having it be a big deal on social media.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Well, if that's the only reason you make a big deal of it is if you think it's a bad thing.
Well, it just would be interesting if he like flat out did not do it back then and now he's doing it. That would be a little more eye opening if you knew for a fact that he wasn't going to college. Now, granted,
why is that?
He still had Pilot Flying J back then and whatever, so. You know, maybe he could say he was a little busier. Now, this is what he has. I mean, he has the dome and he has the football team, and that's his business right now. So maybe you'd make that argument. But I would find it very interesting if during those pivotal times, especially when they had the number one overall pick, that he wasn't going to the games to meet people before the games. Because, you know, you're taking in all information when you're doing that. You're talking to anybody who's around a program. You're doing whatever you can to canvas, to get your research in.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it means anything is what you're asking?
Or I'm
trying to put questions into your head that maybe you're not asking. Maybe I'm thinking a little too deep here.
Oh, I think it's common sense. I think that they're taking a quarterback next year. And so they're scouting. They're gonna do as comprehensive a scout as they can on all these quarterbacks. And they're going to try to see people in person.
Well, because the thought, I don't mean to read too much into it or be too dramatic about things, but do we know that Andrew Berry is going to be there next year?
No.
So you better go yourself, if anything, because I'm going to be the one to have these impressions here. I'm the one who owns the football. If I'm Jimmy, I'm the one who owns the team. I can hire new people.
Hopefully, you wouldn't take your lead scout?
No, you can take all the people you want, but I think I'm talking about him going to games. Him going. I don't know if Andrew was there or Andrew wasn't there.
Yeah.
He was at the games. Yeah, do we know for a fact Andrew was at the games?
I thought there was video of the two of them before the game.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see anything about Andrew. So anybody confirming anything will be the first time it's confirmed to me. All right? But if you're Jimmy, because you asked, why didn't he go to games before the Baker thing? And you said, maybe he was busier because he had Pilot Flying J at that time and all the other stuff. And my thought was, okay, you have this new quarter. You're going to have probably a new quarterback more than likely. Everybody knows, or at least everybody believes, unless one of your two rookies ends up getting a chance and going out and playing very, very well. So yeah, if any of those guys go, okay, so there's Andrew with him, correct?
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right, there's the Andrew way, at the Texas game.
But I could tell you the video where I found this on YouTube.
Yeah.
Buffs Nation Daily.
Are they mad that he's at the game?
I'm sure they were. They don't want to. They don't want him talking about other quarterbacks.
You
got
to do your due diligence here. So, okay,
sure, it's about the Colorado Buffaloes, not just guys that work out a lot.
If you're, maybe it is. Maybe it is about guys who work out a lot. Maybe they're just based in the state of Colorado and they like to work out a lot.
I thought Stefanski picked up 8 to 10 pounds of lean muscle mass over the offseason. I thought it was
clear. Maybe that's what they're scouting.
Jim Schwartz, about 20.
So you got to be ready for the future. And if you're Jimmy, it's like, well, you know, I've been led down a lot of primrose paths over these last how many years about quarterbacks, whether or not to keep them, whether or not to get rid of them, whether or not to draft them, whether or not to draft the guys. And if I've been led down this path, and you got to be honest, you do not know in the back of your head, you have all the best intentions possible that these guys are all going to stay. But at the end of the year, it might be an untenable situation. So if it is untenable, then you're going to come right out and think, all right, I got to know the people as best I can, because this next investment I make is going to be a massive one. And my next investment I intend to make on a quarterback, I am tired of making investments on quarterbacks. This guy, we got to get it right over the next 15 years. Because you're going into 2026. You want that guy hitting the ground running. You want that guy to be a fantastic football player because it's best for your football team and because it's best for business. Because by 2029, then he's a 3-4 year vet. And now it's time to go into a new stadium and everybody is going to want to see him. And you want your guy to be one of the best in the league. So when you are at these games, yeah, it does help you out tremendously in any form of fashion to be at these football games. So yeah, I'll give him enough credit where it's due for him to go to these games. I just wanted to know if you thought it might be a little bit too premature, or whether or not I was maybe even being unfair, where I'm like, all right, I got four quarterbacks off the top of my head right now that I'm paying attention to. One begrudgingly, I will admit that.
I didn't hear Carson you say Drew Aller, by the way.
I didn't mention Drew Aller yet. I told you why I hold back on Drew Aller.
Yeah, but I would think if you're a Browns fan and you think they're taking a quarterback next year, probably you'd be watching all of them. Drew Aller's going to be one of the top guys.
I'm going to watch all the quarterbacks. I did watch Drew Aller on Saturday, but I'm talking about the guys who I think I would be willing to maybe squeeze the trigger on drafting about. And in order, as of right now, I'm going Lenoris Sellers, then Garrett Nussmeier, then Carson Beck, then maybe Fernando Mendoza. There's no maybe. Then Fernando Mendoza. Those are my four guys right off the top. Now, that can change week to week.
I had never heard you mention Fernando Mendoza until today.
I had not mentioned Fernando Mendoza until today on the air. I did not know that he was going to be a real, sincere candidate, and a lot of people were talking him up during the offseason. And then I saw him on Saturday, and I go, these are some really nice footballs. I need to take him into consideration. Again, he's fourth on that list. Mm.
But Drew Aller is where on that list?
He would maybe not be on that list right now.
Wow. He's under the Mendoza diagonal.
He's on everybody else's list, but he's not on Ken Carmen's list.
But I've told you a great deal why.
Just because he's from here.
Yes.
Which normally that's why people would want the guy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know we have new listeners.
I'm not trying to zig.
It's football week.
You're turning around on me. I'm not trying to zig when everybody else zags. I believe wholeheartedly he's got two games that he can show that to an Ohio State fan, to a Browns fan, he's worthy of being taken. And one of them, I think, is against Oregon, and the other one will be against Ohio State. Those are the games. And then when the playoffs come around, then we'll see about that. But like he's got those chances. Now, I really like Drew Aller personally. But because he's from here, I just think that's a tremendous amount of pressure to put on a guy who's from here to go to a football team. It's not like he's from Green Bay and we're just going into another line of quarterbacks here for the first time in 10 years, it seems, that they get a new quarterback. We're going since Bernie here. That's a tremendous amount of pressure to put on a young man. So, yeah, I put him almost in a separate category. And I put him away from the four guys that I'm watching right now. Yes. Yes. Is that a satisfactory answer to you?
Sure. I just want to make sure people know, because it would be a glaring omission if you don't mention Drew Aller as one of the guys that could be, you know, top five pick next year.
He could be a top five pick next year. But I'm talking about for the Browns. That's what I'm talking about. Was there a guy that you came away with liking more than the other ones over the weekend?
Yeah. That LSU, I think I texted you about a dime that I saw in the second half. I'm like, oh, we've seen enough here, ladies and gentlemen. That could be the next person.
What I liked about, because I liked Nussmeier last year, let's be honest, going into the season. And I thought he might be a dark horse candidate to be a quarterback that was the first one off the board. He wasn't. It was a, what, I think he threw, still threw for like 4,000 yards last year. But this was a tough game to be in on Saturday. I thought you saw one guy who kind of had a deer in the headlights look again in Cade Klubnik, and I think you had a guy who was ready to go out there against a tough football team. Clemson's still a top 10 football team in this country, and they're still a really good football team. Again, they were at home. And to go out there week one when not everything is going to go your way, it tends to be a little sloppy. To go out there and to kind of lead them the way he did, that meant a lot to me for with Garrett Nussmeier. I thought the same thing for Lenora Sellers. It's bound to be a little clunky. You're in that one-off Sunday day game when you're going up against a team like Virginia Tech, which is not the greatest football program in the world anymore, but it's still going to be a tough one. And by the way, South Carolina's nothing to go get crazy about. They might be a playoff team this year, but South Carolina's nothing to go get crazy about. And if they are a playoff team, it's going to be because of Lenora Sellers.
What'd you think of Thomas Castellanos, Florida State, putting it on Alabama?
I thought more about Alabama than I did about Florida State.
Castellanos was awesome in this game.
And
he was talking you-know-what from... He'd been doing it all offseason,
yes,
too.
Yes, but I really thought that Kalen DeBoer is going to... He's going to be surprised at the lengths that Southern football fans are willing to go to get you ran out of town.
To pay a buyout?
Or what dirt they're willing to dig up, or any of the crazy things that Southern football fans are willing to do to get a guy out of a contract. Especially at a place like Alabama. If they don't like a guy, they're going to find... He better be as squeaky clean in his personal life as he possibly can, because whatever it is, if you keep losing football games like that, they're going to find it. But I came away with more takes about Alabama than I did about Florida State in that one.
Does Lima like?
Or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right, lengthy weekend. Seemed like the most sports humanly possible, and that is a week before the NFL even gets started. Can you imagine what it's going to be like next week? But we have to start out with a team that I'm afraid it could be over for.
Lima no likes.
Boy, the Guardians got off to a great start going into the weekend and then finished with a thud over the last few days. And dare I say, the last two games, the last two losses, unlucky. Can I go that far? Listen to this. Yesterday in Fenway, where it seems like that's one of the places where something like this could go down. Listen to the call.
Down the line, long way into the corner, and it is caught, I think. Saying no catch.
It's foul ball is what they're yelling.
Boston is challenging the call of foul ball. After review, the call of the field is a home run. The ball hit the foul ball.
What a bizarre scenario as the ball popped out of the glove and hit the foul pole. And
they were still talking about it like three innings later. And finally, Rick came on the broadcast and said, I wouldn't sugarcoat it if I thought it was a home run. If I saw it hit the foul pole, but I didn't, they went and got another angle, and they finally showed it hitting the foul pole.
And you could see it. But this was after what happened the day before in the final game against Seattle in that series, where they got squeezed on a call at balls and strikes. And the next thing you know, there's a challenge about what's happening to first base.
Yeah.
It's just nothing going their way right now. And listen to Steve Vogt, by the way, yesterday, when it comes to the home run, and then we'll get to some more of the grizzly details.
I've seen it go over the fence. I've never really seen, one tip off onto the foul pole. It's probably the only foul pole you can really play at that height. But that's what this park does. You see some weird plays.
Right. Had they have been anywhere else, it doesn't go down. But in the end, as a lot of parents tell their children, when their parents actually talk to their children, you're not going to sit around and play the victim every day. Like, you create your own luck. Have the Guardians created their own luck this season?
I don't know. Not about that one. I don't think they've been unlucky all year. I think that one was just bad luck.
Well, this is going to be next.
Lima no likes.
As we really don't have much in the way of new information on their gambling investigation, MLB and MLBPA have agreed to extend the non-disciplinary paid leave of the Cleveland Guardians pitchers Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz until further notice. While MLB continues its investigation, we will not comment further until the investigation has been completed.
Is that bad luck?
Is that bad luck, too?
Just don't be gambling.
No, I think
illegal gambling.
I think it's bad luck for the Guardians that they had a closer involved in this situation. And then at this stage, I mean, it's in September. We don't have any information. We're just fans having to wonder.
Seeing in hindsight what we've seen from the starting rotation, Luis Ortiz might have been the guy we were depending
on.
Was it bad luck the Browns have had a quarterback suspended? Was it bad luck that the Browns might not have Quinshon Judkins? I think I did say that. So everything's just bad luck?
The Judkins thing was bad luck. And clearly, I think if you're a Guardians fan and you lose your closer over this, yeah, that's pretty bad luck.
Okay, just bad luck. That's all it is. When teams lose, it's just bad luck. And Browns just had a bunch of bad luck last 25 years.
No, I think there's a pretty clear delineation when you expect a closer to come in and maybe not be as good as last year where he was all-time dominant, Mariano Rivera-type dominant.
You expect
dominant,
the closer to come in and not gamble?
Yeah.
That's bad luck?
Yeah, I kind of hope my players don't get ripped away from me for investigations that have every player's warned, don't gamble. And then we still don't know. Like, the Guardians are like, we can't comment at this time. I kind of want the Guardians to comment at this time. I kind of feel like, as a Guardian fan, I'd like to know why my players are not allowed to play baseball. And do we know right now? And then what happened in the NBA with Malik Beasley, that he might have been cleared, yet he's not a Detroit Piston anymore because of this? Like, yeah, that's bad luck. I think a lot of that's bad.
I'm not talking about that. I don't have your guys. Guys shouldn't gamble on the games that they're in.
Yes, we know, Kenny. But
okay,
I'm talking
then
about
how's it luck? He decided himself to gamble, so technically it's luck that he didn't get caught.
First of all, is that what it's supposed to be? That's not what he's even being accused of, and we don't know that. We don't know that, and that's why the Guardians are not commenting on the situation. I'm pretty sure we don't know what the situation is, which is why I'm aggravated.
Okay. You're aggravating me by your aggravation, so off we go.
Well, wait a sec. No, we got to talk about this.
I don't think we do.
How do you think it's not bad luck from a fan perspective when players get yanked from the team over stuff that, as of right now, the team can't even comment?
That they did wrong?
Are you insinuating that the Guardians knew about this and it's their fault?
No.
Are you like?
But
are you insinuating the Browns knew that Quinshon Judkins did all that?
No, because he did it himself.
Even
That's why
don't
I'm
know,
saying.
We still don't know about
himself.
We still don't know
allegedly
about the Judkins situation. That's bad.
Allegedly, you put yourself in a bad situation.
Most fans do feel like things that fall under the category of bad luck would be injuries, right? That's bad luck. What about your closer being taken away and investigated potentially by the feds from gambling? Yeah, as a fan, I'm going to go ahead and say that's bad luck.
Whatever excuse you can make for Paul Dolan, you will make.
Wait, do you think,
go right on ahead.
Do you think it's a Guardians issue that he was doing this?
I don't know, Anthony. Just move on with the segment.
Okay, I just didn't understand your logic for any of that.
I don't understand your logic either. Let's go, Buckeyes, baby!
The Michigan fan won't say it.
I'm not a Michigan fan.
Oh, that's right. Is it bad luck
that I don't like Michigan?
Now, I know most people say this was more about Archie being bad. I saw a lot of that nationally. But the reality is, number one team comes into your house, and everybody in the country watches it, and you put it to Matt Patricia, by the way, the hiring was scoffed at. When he was brought in, what in the world is Ohio State doing bringing in Matt Patricia? And you know what he was doing? Confusing the hell out of somebody from the proud Manning lineage. We play the marching band song if we could. I don't know if we can. What an incredible weekend down at Ohio State. And to even add to the fun.
I'm alive.
How about Lee Corso? A perfect send-off.
That was nice.
It was awesome.
Over 5.1 million people clicked in to view that. Isn't that nuts?
It was awesome, Kenny. And not only that, can you add the Fox broadcast since they... I've never seen that happen before.
Maybe that's what they did. Maybe they didn't.
Oh, they did?
No, I don't think... Well, Fox showed it, but ESPN's not getting credit for that.
Yeah, Fox showed the entire pick. Here is audio from ESPN.
This is one of the easiest picks I've ever made. Texas is loaded. Texas is number one. They have a Manning at quarterback. Poor Ohio State. They ain't got a chance. Give me my first love.
And then he put on Brutus for I don't even know how many times now, because Ryan Day gave him a helmet.
Yeah, it had a bunch stickers. Of Buckeye Leafs on it.
Yeah, it had the Leafs from every single time he had picked Brutus. But it
and
was
been correct,
it was awesome.
Yes.
And the fact that they had the band do their whole 20-minute routine that they always do, and it was integrated with the actual headgear selection, I thought that was awesome. If you weren't fired up for that game, then
you're not a big
this
fan.
Isn't your sport.
You're just not a fan of college football, yeah.
And not to mention, that was Ryan Day's first ever big college football game he attended, apparently, which threw me for a loop. Kevin Stefanski had never been to a big-time college football game. Listen to Kev.
Great experience. Good job, Coach Day and crew. That's really the first big-time college football game I've ever been to, with all respect to the Penn Quakers. So it was fun for me to be able to take my boys down there. Had a blast. The shoe was rocking. It was very cool.
I guess when you really break it down, it makes sense why he would have never been to a big-time college football game, an East Coaster, but kind of had to step back for a second. I'm like, man, I've been to all these big college football games and different venues, and Kevin Stefanski's never done that. But he got his taste right there.
Nice for him.
Do you think he'll be going back?
Nah, not anytime soon, because they have a season going.
Yeah. One final note.
Lima likes.
Hey, I was there for history on Saturday, not far removed from where Ken Carman lives. 21-game losing streak goes by the wayside. Kent State is in the victory column.
What's that name of that coach?
Mark Carney.
Mark
St.
Carney.
Ed's.
Well done by him.
One for one. The
well
other coach was... One for like 31.
One of the best Carneys I've ever met.
It was awesome.
Can I add another Lima Likes you're going to love? Were you up last night, or were you up Saturday night for Cal and Oregon State?
Not that one, no.
Why would you be? The quarterback of Cal, he's a true freshman. He was 20 of 30 for 234 yards and 3 touchdowns. Smoked Oregon State. They couldn't do anything against this guy. True freshman. Do you know what this young man's name is?
What is it?
Jaron Kiawe Sagapulatelli.
Oh, I saw the last name. So we were watching that.
Oh,
I didn't realize it was on at the bar, and I kept telling my buddy. I kept saying, Sagapulatelli.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nephew of the late, great P.O. Sagapulatelli.
Oh, yeah. How great is that?
What a wonderful moment.
It all comes first. Well, he has to become a Cleveland Brown. It has to happen.
I can't be bad for another 3 more years. We got to go get ready for something here.
That's it for Lima Likes.
Boy, he keeps throwing like that. I don't know how much longer he's going to be a Cal Golden Bear, because someone's going to come and take him, because that's a lot of money he can make.
If you invoke Sagapulatelli's law, you can bring him in. If his uncle played for the team, you should be able to bring him in with this.
We have mentioned that name many times.
They were showing how he's a big admirer of who? Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not? I'm guessing Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.